I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's May 29th, and this special bonus episode of Real Talk MS is coming to you from the Consortium of Multiple Sclerosis Centers annual meeting in Seattle, Washington. Now, most of the time when I'm doing these special updates from MS conferences and meetings, the topic is MS research, but this meeting is different. This meeting brings together more than 2,100 clinicians, the MS nurses, the physical therapists, occupational therapists, psychologists, and others who actually provide care to people living with MS. And while there's a greater emphasis on research than there has been in the past, this conference is really about how the more than 300 MS centers across the U.S. can deliver the very best care to their patients. Today was the first day of the conference, and there were so many presentations that sounded really wonderful that it was difficult to choose which ones to go to. They all sounded that good. So I elected to start my day at a symposium being presented by the National MS Society's MS Navigator Program. Now, if you're a regular Real Talk MS listener, well, you've heard me talk about the MS Navigator Program before. I'm a fan. I think it's one of the most remarkable support programs available to people affected by MS. The MS Navigator Program is ready to provide support no matter where someone is on their MS journey. In 2018, MS Navigators helped over 52,000 people. And as you let that number sink in, you have to consider that just as MS presents differently from one person to the next, the needs of people affected by MS can vary as well. Some of the people that connect with MS Navigators might have a simple question. Other people connecting with MS Navigators may need more. And about 2% of the people that contact MS Navigators need a lot of support. There are a lot of things, multiple issues, that need fixing fast. They require high-touch support or full case management. And tomorrow, you'll hear more about this amazing level of high-touch support that MS Navigators provide when my guest on the podcast will be Aaron Posnansky, the Vice President of MS Navigator Services Delivery for the National MS Society. Well, after the MS Navigator Symposium, I listened to Cleveland Clinic research scientist Dr. Bruce Trapp explain the new MS subtype that he and his team discovered a few months ago. It's called myelocortical MS. And the best way to understand myelocortical MS is to review what we already know about multiple sclerosis. White matter makes up about half the human brain. And if you have MS, when the immune system attacks, the brain's white matter is a prime target. Our white matter contains nerve fibers called axons, which are surrounded by myelin. And myelin protects these axons and helps to speed the communication between our nerve cells. When demyelination occurs in MS, this protective substance is attacked by our immune cells. And this destruction of our myelin is linked to nerve cell death that leads to progressive disability. So Dr. Trapp and his team analyzed the brain tissue from 100 MS patients who had donated their brains for scientific research after death. And the team found that 12 of the brains did not have even a trace of white matter demyelination. But each of these 12 patients had suffered the nerve cell death that leads to progressive disability in MS. Well, the research team then compared the brain tissue samples from these 12 MS patients to brain tissue samples from 12 other MS patients and from individuals who had no neurological disease at all. And the team found MS demyelinated lesions in the spinal cord and cerebral cortex. That's the gray matter part of the brain responsible for memory and information processing in both the myelocortical and the typical MS patient samples. but there were no demyelinated lesions affecting white matter in the brain detected in the 12 myelocortical MS patient samples. So to sum up this breakthrough, this research shows that contrary to what was previously believed, the death of nerve cells in MS can occur without any signs of white matter demyelination. Now, what makes this new subtype of MS, this myelocortical MS, even trickier is that while they were alive, the MRI brain scans of these 12 patients were indistinguishable from those patients with traditional or typical MS. That's because part of the nerve cells were swollen in the 12 patients with myelocortical MS, and they looked like typical MS lesions caused by white matter myelin loss. In other words, using today's technology, myelocortical MS can only be diagnosed after death. So Dr. Trapp's work really opens up a whole new arena in MS research. For one thing, it requires the development of more sensitive imaging techniques and strategies so that myelocortical MS can be properly identified and diagnosed among patients while they're alive. And it also creates a need for more precisely tailored treatment strategies for people living with all the different forms of MS. This is really a perfect example of how scientific discovery pushes scientific advancement forward. Now, one of the presentations that I missed today was a presentation that illustrated the evolving style of interaction between doctors and their patients. Fortunately, my friend, internationally certified MS nurse, Sherry Binns, was at that presentation. And when I caught up with Sherry, she was ready to share. So in a moment, you'll hear my conversation with certified MS nurse, Sherry Binns, about how the roles of doctors and patients are evolving and what that means for you the next time you find yourself talking with your neurologist. You know, I think an awful lot of us have been through the experience of taking your car into the mechanic and them telling you what you need. And you really don't know what to make of half of what they say, but you know you're going to be on the hook to pay for it later. So sometimes we take their word for it. Sometimes we go back and try to do our homework. Sometimes we get a second opinion. But there's just this tremendous amount of not knowing, and that produces more than its share of anxiety. And that has to do with your car. Well, imagine if it had to do with your health, because things are changing in the way healthcare is being delivered today. We see it everywhere, from research to the clinic. We hear about things like patient-reported outcomes in clinical trials. We hear about things like patient-focused drug development in creating new treatments for MS and other diseases as well. So the landscape is changing in the laboratory, and the landscape is changing in the clinic. So one of the nice things about attending a meeting like the Consortium of MS Centers annual meeting is that you get to be face-to-face with the people you usually get to talk to on the phone or exchange email with. And today I'm face-to-face with Sherry Binns, who's a 16-year member of the International Organization of MS Nurses. She's a longtime CMSC member. And Sherry was able to attend a wonderful presentation by Dr. Patricia Coyle. And Dr. Coyle talked about this evolving landscape of how patients and their physicians relate to one another. So Sherry, maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. This presentation I've seen on three separate occasions over the years with Dr. Coyle presenting, and the delight of this today was how she brings it into today's treatment arena as we evolve, as we learn about new medications and their effectiveness. So she brought to the fore today that we now know so much about the treatment of MS and have so many therapies available that the doctor-patient relationship has evolved and grown. 25 years ago, there weren't that many treatments available, so the doctor could say to you, this is the medication I'm recommending for you. That is no longer the case. We really do best at managing MS when both the person with MS and their neurologist both continue to learn and to keep current with therapies and to understand when and for whom they might work. She gave us four types of doctor presentations and told us basically that most of our neurologists fit into one of these four types. The first is a paternalistic relationship, and that's what many of us used to be very used to, like the mechanic that you just mentioned. I'm giving you this medication because it's, in my opinion, the best medication for you. They ultimately have a my way or the highway approach. Dr. Coyle said these are conversations to avoid, doctors to avoid. However, they don't necessarily need to be avoided. They can be challenged and potentially changed. If you have a good relationship with your doctor, that kind of a directive can be questioned, can be challenged, and ultimately can be changed to what might work best for you as an individual. The second type of physician is informative. This is the doctor that gives you all of the packets on all of the different medications that the drug reps have dropped off in the office and said, here, read these and then tell me which medicine you want to be on. Again, she said this is a type of encounter to be avoided or to challenge and change the conversation. The third type is a little bit better in that this is an interpretive conversation. So you've got a doctor that lets you help to choose your medication based upon what you want. Many patients will come in and they'll say, I'll only take a medication if it's not a shot. And so the doctor then completely eliminates the efficacy or the benefit of any medications that might be administered through an injection or an infusion and goes only to the few medications that we've got that are taken by mouth that don't necessarily have the action that that individual might most benefit from. So this is a better approach. It's still not the best. What she says is the best approach is the deliberative approach. This engages in a discussion on what values need to be considered in making a medication choice, and it educates people with MS or fills in gaps in knowledge that they don't necessarily know and comes to a shared decision and approach for therapy. Sometimes the patient values and the best practice don't always align, and it's a good practitioner who's able to hear that and to work with the individual to provide the best possible treatment plan. One of the places where we're seeing right now that this is happening is in the Medicare arena, where Part D plans with Medicare have a 40% copay, and by law, the drug companies cannot help with a patient assistance program. So for many of those persons taking self-administered medications, their monthly copay is in the vicinity of $3,000 per month. In those cases, the deliberative approach may mean that the patient and the doctor have to have that conversation and choose a therapy that protects the patient's financial integrity and maybe not the drug that the patient or the doctor would prefer that they're on, and yet we still get an outcome that's acceptable.
You know, I've talked about some of this on the podcast before, and what I've tried to emphasize is if you're going to have one of those conversations where you're challenging and changing the conversation you're hearing from your doctor, or if you're lucky enough to have that deliberative approach with your doctor, you need to bring a full portfolio of understanding to those conversations. In other words, and my listeners have heard me say it before, you need to be an informed medical consumer. which means you have to do your homework. So when the mechanic tells you you need that part or this work done on the car, you know what they're talking about. When the doctor says this might be the best course of treatment for your MS, you can have an equal understanding of why he or she may be saying that and making that suggestion, making that recommendation. And if it's a conversation where you're going to challenge that recommendation or that suggestion, well, then you need to have done your homework so that you can really be a full partner in your treatment plan.
You're so right on that. And one of the things that Dr. Coyle talked about is that so few of us who are living with MS have only MS as our disease process. So many of us also are dealing with hypertension or diabetes or obesity or other chronic long-term health problems. And we need to know how to treat those problems as well as how to treat the MS. And we need to be very aware of what's going on in our bodies so that we can communicate potential interactions or side effects of treatments to both our primary care doctors, to our neurologist, and to other specialists we may be seeing. So she stressed over and over in many different ways throughout that class that the informed medical consumer has the best outcomes overall. She cringes when somebody comes into the office and said, I really don't care about this. Just tell me what to take and treat me, because they don't have the good outcomes that the informed, educated medical consumer has.
And you raise another good point, and that is you need to over-communicate to all of your treating physicians what's going on in your various treatments. So if you are being treated for hypertension, the physician helping you needs to understand what MS disease modifying therapy you're on. Your neurologist needs to understand what medication is helping you manage hypertension. They're all interrelated and they all have an effect on each other. So you want to make sure that the outcome, the effect, falls in your favor instead of making things a little worse instead of a little better. It requires that we all do more homework, but rather than sit and hope for the next breakthrough pill, shot, infusion that might make you feel a little better, doing this will give you an outcome where you will feel a little better. So this is, in many ways, a magic pill toward improving your quality of life and your well-being if you're living with MS.
Those are very, very true words. In fact, I would say that in living this kind of a lifestyle, we as individuals living with MS are finding our own cure for MS. That cure for MS isn't necessarily a magic pill, but everything that we do to improve our quality of life, every piece of information we gather and put to use, every bit of exercise that we do, every bit of conscious eating that we do, helps us in part to advance towards our personal cure from MS and the conditions that it instills upon us.
Well, Sherry Binns, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of a very hectic conference schedule to sit and talk with me today.
You're so very welcome.
Well, that's going to wrap up this special bonus episode of Real Talk MS. Check in tomorrow for another update from the Consortium of Multiple Sclerosis Centers annual meeting. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. And we'll catch you tomorrow.